Way cool. Thank you, Lynn, very much. Beautiful, beautiful. If you've been coming here for a while, as many of you have, you know that we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the Bible or sin or salvation and those kind of things. There are plenty of people that do that just fine all up and down Peachtree Street. But we do talk a lot in this teaching about thoughts, beliefs, and expectations. And there's a good reason for this, of course. We believe, because of what all the great spiritual teachers throughout history have taught, that these things are creative. In fact, 2,500 years ago, the Buddha, who had a little bit of knowledge about this kind of thing, said, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. With our thoughts, we make the world." And it doesn't get any clearer than that. Of course, it's not our thoughts alone that do this. It's the way that we think our thoughts. The stronger and the more definite the thought, and the more emotional energy there is behind it, the more creative that thought is. That's why our most strongly held opinions and our most fervent expectations frequently turn out to be true. But we have to learn which way the process works, which is from the inside out. In other words, we only begin to become spiritually aware once we realize that we don't believe certain things because they're true. Instead, there are certain things that show up in our life and appear to be true, but only because our thoughts created them or attracted them. So they are, in fact, true reflections of our thoughts, but they are not necessarily the absolute truth for everyone everywhere. We have to understand that. Now, another thing we talk about a lot here is the belief that we are all one at the level of thought, at the level of consciousness. And that level that we talk about at which we are all joined is God. That's what we call, you know, you can call it the God level if you want. So we believe that God is not a person that we pray to. It is a creative process that we pray with. You get the difference? Okay. It is a creative process that we pray with. It is a flow of consciousness that creates the world through its own natural laws, like the laws of nature and the laws of physics, but it also creates using laws that work through us, like the law of attraction, the law of love, the law of giving and receiving, law of cause and effect, the law of non-resistance, and other spiritual laws that are just as powerful as any physical law that works in the world. So this power works the same way through every person, all the time, without exception. It's what we call our divine center, and we all have it, even if we don't realize it. Anyway, what I got thinking about in preparing for this talk today is how these two ideas work together, that thoughts are creative and that we all share one mind. And here's the question that I came up with for myself. If our collective thoughts and beliefs, meaning all of us, not just us in this room or in this city or this state, but everyone everywhere, if our collective thoughts and beliefs create the world, as the Buddha said, and if our personal thoughts and beliefs create our own individual life experiences, that's one thing, and if we are all thinking all the time as one mind that we all share, does that mean that my thoughts affect other people, or that my life can be controlled, corrected, or changed by the thoughts of another person? In other words, if I think that someone I know needs help, can I use my thoughts to fix their problems? Or on the other hand, if I believe that I'm going to succeed at something, but everyone around me expects me to fail, do their thoughts affect the way that things turn out? This is obviously an important question. For example, if I find myself experiencing some sort of serious illness, and I have a sincere desire to heal myself, how is my body affected if everyone around me, the doctors, the nurses, my family, my friends, if everyone around me believes that the disease I have is incurable and they expect me to die? How does that affect me? Or if I have an idea for a business, for example, that I believe can change the world and make me and a whole lot of other people wealthy in the process, will the success of my business be affected if everyone I talk to expects me to fail because they believe there's no way my idea can possibly work? Now, the answer to both of these questions, or any other questions like them, is what I call the universal answer, and that is, you've heard me say it before, it depends. All right? That's the universal answer. It depends. That's what I want to talk about this morning. How much power do other people's expectations of us have over us, if any, and what can we do about it? Now, the first thing we need to recognize is that expectations, whether they are ours or anyone else's, can and frequently do affect the direction that our creative energy takes. That means if we are not taking full responsibility for our own beliefs, expectations will either push or pull our thoughts in a certain direction. They also, depending upon what the expectation is or who's expressing it, can determine how motivated we are to have that expectation come true. For example, if I'm a high school or college age person and I adore my father and he expects me to become a doctor just like him, I might do whatever I have to do to make that happen. Or do something personal. If there's someone I really, really want to date, for example, and she expects me to give up my golf clubs and my motorcycle so I can walk the dog with her every Saturday afternoon at the park, you know, I may at least start thinking about doing that because I'm motivated. All right? Now, I probably won't do it, but I might think about it for a minute. Okay. Now, what I'm saying is, as long as I place someone else's satisfaction above my own needs or desires, I will do almost anything to make them happy. You see, it isn't so much that I want to do whatever it is they want me to do. I just want them to like me. I just want them to be in a good mood when they think about me, which brings up another important point. Expectations are not results. Expectations exist at the level of thought, not at the level of effect. They are a subtle mental and emotional pressure that narrows our overall field of possibilities. They try to push us towards a certain narrow range of results, not always of our own choosing. Now, if we're doing it to ourselves, that's one thing. We all do that to a certain degree to ourselves. But if we are reacting to what someone else thinks we should be or do, or not be or not do, that creates a problem. Because we are trying to make another person happy at the expense of our own happiness. And that is almost always a short-term, unsustainable solution. It just doesn't work. Resentment comes up and all those things. Now, one of the worst situations that we get ourselves into is when we project expectations onto other people, and we've all been there, and then we try to live up to them. Maybe we start to think that our spouse or our partner will only love us if we make a certain amount of money or if we have a certain kind of body. Or maybe we decide that our parents expect us to get by on our own no matter what, even when we actually do need help. It even happens on a spiritual level with some people. Sometimes we try to hide our faults and our fears because we believe God expects us to be perfect. The sad thing is, the end result of all these projections, these misconceptions, is that we sacrifice our own peace of mind because we think other people expect us to be a certain way when that may not be the case at all. That's why it's always a good idea to ask people what they expect of us if, and only if, number one, we actually care about their opinion, okay? No point in asking if you don't care, all right? And number two, if we aren't really sure what their expectation is. That way, even if we don't like what they tell us, at least now we know for sure. And then we can decide whether their expectations are something that we might actually consider, could be a good idea, or whether it's something that we can lovingly ignore. That's how we make the decision. Of course, if it's God's expectations that we're trying to figure out, we can stop worrying about that part because Spirit has no expectations of us at all. No expectations of us at all. Or to be more precise, this is the way Dr. Holmes would say it, our expectations for ourselves are God's expectations for us. You get it? Get the difference? Okay. And that makes that part very, very easy. Now, external expectations, that's what we're focusing on. The expectations of others are frequently expressed in the form of criticism. And when those criticisms are stated in an angry or demeaning way, most of us, as we've grown older, have the good sense to either ignore the critic or to at least say, thank you for sharing, you know, when they say that, which is the metaphysical equivalent of a two-word response you might hear in New York City, you know? All right. Right, Lynn? Yes, right. Okay. But even well-intended criticism, or what is referred to as constructive criticism, can be hard to take. I read this quote from a man named Franklin Jones. He was a British engineer in the early 1800s. It sums it up pretty well. He said, "Honest criticism is hard to take, particularly from a relative, a friend, an acquaintance, or a stranger." Okay, good point. You know, and he's right. He really is. He's right. We rarely want to hear anyone tell us why what they think we should do is better than what we think we should do, even if they're right, even if we know that they're right. I mean, it's very easy for us to become defensive and to put our walls up. If we don't learn one thing, if we don't learn to listen to other people's opinions in a spiritually grounded way. And when I say spiritually grounded, I mean listening from a very calm, centered, and self-aware place in consciousness where we know that we alone are responsible for how we live our life, but where we also realize that someone else may have a useful insight or experience that we can actually learn from. And why not? The same spiritual wisdom that speaks through us is speaking through them. So there may be something there we could use. Now, another way that the expectations of others are conveyed to us is through their approval or their disapproval. And that's probably the most subtle and most dangerous form of mental and emotional conditioning that we ever have to deal with, because everyone likes approval. And the most effective form of approval is through praise. Praise. The problem is, we may end up seeking praise by doing something someone wants us to do that we, if we stop to think about, have no desire to do at all. It may even cause us to limit our own growth. In other words, if someone continually praises the way we do something, we start to get locked in, and eventually we find ourselves feeling reluctant to change or to stretch. I mean, if someone praises us for being practical over and over, we may hesitate. How many practical people we got here on the practical side, okay? If someone keeps praising us for that and we start to think of ourselves as a practical person, we may hesitate when an opportunity comes up to do something wild and crazy that we might enjoy. I can't do that. I'm the practical one, okay? On the other hand, if somebody praises us for being a free spirit, how many free spirits we got out there? Got a lot of them in this place, you know, okay? We may hesitate when we feel the need to do something practical that we really, really need to do. In other words, we keep doing the things they compliment us for, and that keeps us from stepping out of the box and risking their disapproval. Now, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, the great motivational speaker in the last century, he wrote the book The Power of Positive Thinking. Many of you have read it. He once said this. He said, "The trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism." It's a great statement. It's a great statement. What he means is, when we seek praise and recognition and the approval of others, we often stop thinking, because we become reactive. We start creating our life based on their desires rather than our own. The danger is when the praise eventually becomes empty or unfulfilling, which after a while it always does, we still end up seeking more and more because the same amount doesn't work anymore. You know, people are always looking for compliments and looking for praise. You know, it's like a drug. We become addicted to their approval. Now, it's nice when people approve of us. All of us like that, as I said. But I have actually found that I learn far more about myself and my true desires from people who don't approve of me or what I do. In fact, there are a few people in my life, my mother included, whose automatic disapproval virtually guarantees me that I'm on the right track. You know? Automatic, you know? Now, I'm sort of kidding when I say that, not really, but kind of, you know, a little bit, all right. But what it really comes down to is knowing the difference between immediate approval and eventual approval. What we want to learn to do is to become so in tune with our inner wisdom and how it feeds our soul's desire that we are willing to risk the short-term disapproval and criticism of others, because we know in our heart that what we are doing is right for us in the long run. If we give in to their expectations before getting a chance to show ourselves and the people around us what we can do, we may derail our dreams before they get a chance to manifest. And that's really too bad when we do that. Now, I agree that this is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard to tell people that we care about to back off. Sometimes it's difficult to resist the pressure. Sometimes we have so many doubts and insecurities that anyone who feeds our fears causes us to back away from a doorway that we're about to go through that could lead us into an entirely new and exciting life experience. But even when it seems like it's coming from people around us, that pressure can only come from within. It can only come from within. So it's never the expectations of others that forces us to do things that we don't want to do. Instead, it is our belief, whether conscious or unconscious, that their expectations of us are more important than our expectations of ourselves. And the only way to overcome that trap, and it is a trap, is to spend enough time in quiet contemplation and thoughtful prayer that we become intimately familiar with our own strengths and weaknesses, our own likes and dislikes, and our own dreams and desires. Because those things are never, ever hidden. They're always right here. They're not in someone else's hands. They're always right here waiting for us to recognize them and to apply them to our life. No one else can do that for us. Now, Bill Cosby a few years ago made the marvelous statement. It was very widely spread at the time. He said, "I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody." Everybody. That's something we should all have tattooed on the inside of our arm, you know, so you can read it. We ought to be born with that, or indelible ink or something. Because not only can we not please everybody, people who want us to please them are frequently doing so because they don't know how to please themselves. They don't know how to please themselves. That's why in most cases, people's expectations of us tell us very little about our shoulds and a whole lot about their needs. And if you listen to it, you can hear it. Now, in my research, I came across a very interesting article. It was written by a successful career woman who was discussing this same topic. And she told how she went to her 20th high school reunion, was very, very successful in her field, and someone there who hadn't seen her for 20 years and really didn't know anything about her life after, you know, she said, "Well, this is what I've been doing." The other person said, "Well, you should have had kids. You would have made a perfect mother." You know, so she's thinking about that. The next day she was telling a friend that, you know, I really enjoy my career. In fact, I want to keep doing it till I'm 55 or 60. And the friend said, "Oh, you don't want to keep working that long. You need to retire before that." So she talks to her husband after that, and she's telling her husband what the woman said, and her husband says, "You know, you have a great career. You should keep working as long as you can." All right? Three people in 2 days telling her how to live her life. That is how subtle this is. Every day there are 1,000 little comments, many of them made by people we love and respect, trying to mold us into their idea of who or what we should be. That's why one of my favorite quotes from E.E. Cummings, you know, the guy who uses all little letters, you remember him, the poet in high school? He said this. He said, "To be nobody but yourself in a world that's doing its best to make you somebody else is to fight the hardest battle you are ever going to fight." Okay? To be nobody but yourself in a world that's doing its best to make you somebody else is to fight the hardest battle you are ever going to fight. And then he says, keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. Now, maybe the most difficult part of all of this is learning to differentiate between manipulative criticism and helpful advice, the two extremes of the pole, because sometimes those two things sound a lot alike. Sometimes people who are trying to control us, either intentionally or unintentionally, appear to be the nicest and most helpful people we could ever find, while other times the best advice we could ever hope to receive comes from someone who annoys the living bejesus out of us. You know, it's funny how that happens. That's why we have to learn to listen from a spiritual perspective and not be fooled by appearances or by our own history, experience, or prejudices. Now, in the Christian Bible, the master teacher Jesus, we are told, said many times, He who has ears, let him hear. Remember that? He said it at the end of a lot of his little parables and talks. Well, that's kind of what we need to do. We need to tune up our spiritual ears. If you remember from high school biology, we don't listen with our ears. Our ears are connected to our brain. They convey the vibrations to our brain, and our brain is the organ that our mind uses to help us communicate with spirit, okay? So listening and interpreting the words that other people use and how they affect us is actually an art. If we can learn to listen to everything that anyone ever tells us with a calm, non-judgmental, compassionate, and open consciousness, then we can very easily weed out the good advice from the bad. And here's how you do it. It's very simple. The good advice will expand our spiritual awareness, and the bad advice will try to shut it down. That's all we really need to know. We don't need to get upset when someone tells us what they expect us to do or what they expect our life to look like, because what they are saying is exactly that. It is their expectations, and they're perfectly entitled to have them, just like we are perfectly entitled to accept or reject them. Or we can take part of what they suggest and leave the rest. The point is, other people's thoughts and beliefs and expectations do affect our life, but only if we take them as our own. Only if we take them as our own. They can't force them on us, and they can't change our mind without our consent. Now, this is not about making all of our decisions completely on our own in isolation without any help or outside advice. That's not what this is about. It's about setting up a support system that supports our growth and our creativity without stifling it or directing it. And one good approach we can take is to surround ourselves with people that we like and trust, who are willing to be honest with us but are not attached to the decisions that we make. That's one thing we can do. While at the same time, we can separate ourselves from people who are continually telling us what we should be doing or who get upset whenever we don't follow their advice. That kind of drama doesn't help us, and it doesn't help them. I mean, let's face it, we are always going to have controlling or opinionated people show up in our life. The world's full of them. I go to a family reunion, I find half of them, you know, the same thing. The secret is to not keep the same ones around forever. That's the secret. When one shows up and you figure out that's the kind of person they are, you sort of move them along, all right, as quickly as possible. And with a little practice, it gets very, very easy. And if you can't get rid of them because you're related to them or you're living with them, all right, then we may need to retrain them. But we don't retrain them by changing them. We retrain them by changing ourselves, We do it by changing our attitude, our beliefs, and our behavior. We do it by getting very clear in our mind that we are here to create our own life experience and to follow our own dreams and desires. Now, a little positive input is always welcome, and even an occasional suggestion is fine, it doesn't hurt, but we are not here to live up to other people's expectations, and they are not here to live up to ours. We are all here for one reason. We are all here to love, honor, and support ourselves and one another as spiritual beings sharing a human experience. And the sooner we all start living that way, the happier we're all going to be. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, let's take a few moments and give ourselves the gift of our own attention, the gift of our own inner awareness. Here in this beautiful space surrounded by powerful consciousness, take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's just know this, that we live in a beautiful, powerful, amazing, creative universe. We are surrounded and filled with a presence that is constantly working through us. It is constantly creating. It is constantly responding to our thoughts and our beliefs. And this is true for every single person everywhere, whether we know it or not. as we begin to recognize that this is what God is, that this is the spiritual universe that we inhabit, we begin to use that presence in our own life. We begin to recognize that we are all powerful, creative beings, but that we can create and we can share and we can express from a place of love. We don't need to be defensive. We don't need to be angry. We don't need to be judgmental. We need to be calm, peaceful, and open. We need to connect with every person, to listen to every person, to speak with every person in our experience, to read whatever we read from other people, and to not be attached to their opinions, to simply use them as part of the knowledge, the wisdom of Spirit speaking in the world through every person, every place, and everything. And as we begin to do this, we begin to relate to the people in our life in an entirely different way. We begin to relate with the people in our life in a loving, kind, open, receptive way that allows us to communicate, to share thoughts, to share ideas, and to expand both of us spiritually. This is the power we have. So I'd like you to take a few moments now in silence. And in this silence, I want you to first see yourself, your own inner presence, your own higher self within this beautiful space within you. And then if there is anyone in your life that you feel is judging you, criticizing you, or trying to change you against your will, see that person there with you and surround them with love. Surround them with love, but also surround yourself with love and recognize that your power lies within you. Take these few moments to yourself. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth, this greater awareness for ourselves. We accept this spiritual insight that we have given and received. We accept all the gifts that we have been given and all the gifts that we have yet to give. Knowing this, with a deep appreciation for the presence of Spirit and the power of life as it moves through us and every other person, we embrace this idea, we accept it, and we release it into consciousness, letting it be so for us from this moment on. And so it is.